For another occasion whereby we can come together to praise the Lord together, and we're glad you're here. We have visitors among us. We thank you for coming. Hope that you're at ease as you make your visit. Encourage you to get your Bible and to study with us. I want to talk to us for a few moments about this topic. The body is not one member. You know anybody that needs to realize that? We all do, don't we? And as a basis for this study, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. The apostle penned these words to the church of God at Corinth. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. I call your attention particularly to that statement where Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, the body is not one member. The church is often set forth on the pages of this sacred volume as the body of Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the church which is his body. And then in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 24, he talks about his body, which is the church. And so if the church is the body and the body is the church, you can see that they're one and the same. And there is but one body. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. And that he, that is God, might reconcile both, that is Jew and Gentile, unto God, where? In one body. Ephesians 2:16, called in one body. Colossians 3:15. And Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 23. But it needs to be impressed upon our mind, as Paul said, the body is not one member. I got to thinking about that and how there are several things that are true since the body is not one member. I want to explore that with you for just a few moments this afternoon. Since the body is not one member, I suggest to you, first of all, that you're not the Church of Christ. You know, sometimes there are those who will ask a person, what are you? What faith are you? What are you religiously? And somebody might say, well, I'm a Baptist because they belong to the Baptist church. Or I'm a Methodist because they belong to the Methodist church. Or I'm a Presbyterian because I belong to the Presbyterian church. And then somebody might ask a member of the Church of Christ, what are you? And they say, I'm a Church of Christ. Well, that's not what you are. You're not a Church of Christ. If the body was one member, then the church could meet in a phone booth, right? If it was one member. You'd not have a phone booth with a sign that said Church of Christ meets here, because the Church of Christ is not one member. The body is not one member. And so it's not proper or correct to refer to yourself as the Church of Christ. So well, how do I refer to myself then? I'm a Christian. Remember? The term or expression Church of Christ designates the Lord's people collectively, the Church of Christ. As Paul said in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. But individually, we're referred to as Christians. If a man suffer as a Christian, Peter said, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be what? A church of Christ? No. A church of Christer? No. A Christian. Acts 26, 28. The disciples were called Christians. First at Antioch. Acts 11 and then verse 26. And so since the body is not one member, you're not a church of Christ. But let me suggest to you something else. Since the body is not one member, there's a difference between what one member does and what the church as such may do. I don't know of anything that has created more problems down through the years among brethren than a failure to make the distinction between the work of an individual and the work of the church. Because there have been those who have thought that whatever an individual can do, the church can do. And if the individual does it, that's the church doing it. That's just not true. They've not learned. They've not come to realize, as Paul said, the body is not one member. If one member went in the pizza-making business, does that put the church in the pizza-making business? No. If one member decides that they're going to go out and play golf, does that put the whole church on the golf course? Of course not. And yet there are those who think that when one member does something, the church is doing it. Well, that whatever an individual can do, the church can do. The Bible makes a clear distinction between individual activity and the action of the church. In the book of Matthew, we have a good example of that. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 18. How that in verse 15, the Lord said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Let me ask you, how many people are involved at this point? Just two, right? Thee and him alone. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Let me ask you, if two or three brethren here individually go into the pizza-making business, does that put the church in the pizza-making business? No, what two or three may do is not the church doing it. The church isn't involved yet, is it? Look at verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And so what an individual may do, or what two or three may do, does not constitute what the church is doing. You see that? And yet there are those who think that if an individual can do it, then the church can do it. Let me give you another example that makes a distinction between individual action and church activities. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, when Paul wrote Timothy about the elder and the younger, he talked about the widow. And how that in verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. That shows that there's some responsibilities that you and I have as individuals that the church is not to be charged with or burdened with. And so there's a distinction made between what an individual may do and what the church as such may do. I believe we need to learn that. We need to realize the body is not one member. Let me think with you about something else that's true. Since the body is not one member, what the church does or doesn't do is not dictated by one member. Isn't that a good principle to learn? Can you think of anybody in the New Testament that needed to learn that? Maybe his name would start with a D. Remember that? Diotrephes. Remember him? In 3 John, when John wrote, he said, I wrote unto the church, but what? Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. You think there's a principle that old Diotrephes needed to realize? And that is this principle that Paul established back here in 1 Corinthians 12, the body is not one member. You know, there are some brethren who seem to think that the church revolves around them, and that the spirit of Diotrephes is alive in some people today. And the church will not grow as the Lord intended where that spirit is allowed to prevail. He receiveth us not, John said. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Here was an individual who needed to learn, as you and I need to know, the body is not one member. And so what the church does or does not do is not dictated by you, is it? Or by me or by any individual. You know, there have been some churches that haven't been able to get anything accomplished because they've been held hostage by one member. And this church is not going to allow that to happen, right? You can't afford to let one person dictate or determine what the church is going to do or not do. Because the body is not one member. But let me suggest to you another thing to be learned and appreciated from this principle. And that is, since the body is not one member, we need each other. He likens the church to a physical body, right? Let me ask you. You look at your body and you tell me which member you don't need. Would it be your hand? Would you say to your hand, I don't need you anymore? Would you say to your arm, I could do without you? Huh? What about your leg? Would you do that? How many of you? Raise your hand if you'd say, I don't need my leg. You wouldn't do that, would you? But yet, there are those who get to thinking that there's some members that we could do without. We don't need you. I don't need you. That's sad, isn't it? Did you read anything in this where it's emphasized that we need each other? I believe Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand. What can the eye not say to the hand? I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. Had any foot problems? Anybody? Would you say to your foot, I don't need you? You realize how much you need that foot, don't you? Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or what? Necessary. You might highlight that word, necessary. These parts are necessary. And so when I thought about the body is not one member, I thought about how we need each other. My head needs these hands. And these hands need these legs, and these legs need these feet. And you can't say to one, I don't need you. I want you to realize, as a member of the church, you're needed, you're important, you're necessary. And we need to appreciate that, I believe. But let me suggest to you another thing about the fact that the body is not one member. And that is, since that is true, since the body is not one member, there must be a spirit of cooperation. Right? Could you imagine trying to work, whatever job it is that you do? Maybe you're feeding cattle. What if one hand's trying to keep the other hand from getting the grain out there? One hand's trying to get the feed and the other hand's trying to keep it away. Is that going to work? Not going to work very well, is it? You want to go this way, but your feet's taking you another way. That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? You'd kind of laugh at that. Or you think about, you got oxen. They've got a yoke. They yoke together, right? They're pulling in the same direction. Can you imagine them trying to pull in opposite ways? You got one going one way, another trying to go another direction. That's not going to work. You're not going to get anything done that way. It's not going to happen. Since the body is not one member, but many, the body parts work together. That's the way it is with this body. Everything works together. The legs work together, the hands, and everything. Isn't it wonderful how the body works together? That's the way it is of the church. There's to be unity. In fact, he uses that word together. God hath tempered the body half. Together. 1 Corinthians 12 and then verse 24. The Bible often emphasizes togetherness. I read that in Acts chapter 2 when the church was first established, how that the Bible says in verse 44, all that believed were what? Together. They were together. And Acts 4 talks about that as well, how the whole multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Acts 4 and in verse 32. And when Paul wrote the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 1, he said in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving out together for the faith of the gospel. That's important. Some brethren don't get anything accomplished because they can't get together. They can't come together. They can't agree on anything. Right? That's a problem in some places. Maybe they need to be reminded of what the Lord prayed for. That y'all may be what? One, John 17, 20 and 21. And how that Paul said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 3. That's important. Let me also emphasize the fact that since the body is not one member, there's to be no schism. That is, there is to be no division in the body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25. You know, this church that Paul's writing needed to know that, didn't they? They needed to realize that. Because it had been declared to Paul of those of the house of Chloe that there were contentions among them. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 11. And so Paul wrote, beseeching them, this is one of Paul's beseechments, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak what? The same thing. Speak the same thing. And so the Lord doesn't want me up here speaking one thing, and you back there speaking something different, right? That won't work. Our message is to be a united message. We say the same thing. We speak the same thing. And when we speak as the oracles of God, we'll do just that. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be, listen to this, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. By the way, being of the same mind doesn't mean that everybody's mind is bent toward your will. Or everybody's will is bent toward your will, right? No. How are we going to have the same mind when we have the mind of Christ? As Paul said, let this mind be in you. When you have the mind of Christ, and I have the mind of Christ, and we'll all have the same mind, won't we? Be of the same mind. But let me suggest to you another thing that's true, since the body is not one member. And that is when one suffers, all suffer, don't they? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Isn't that true physically? You know, and I don't know of any better illustration that I can think of that we've been through than is with Nicholas's situation that he went through. And that is when his arm suffered. Every member suffered. And that's true in lots of different ways. That was true of him physically. His whole body suffered. And his right leg suffered a lot. It gave a lot. It sacrificed a lot so that arm could function. He has his use and feeling of that hand because his right leg gave so much. Sacrificed parts and pieces, nerves and tendons and arteries and grass. And so he's able to use that because that member suffered with it. And his family suffered. Members of the family suffered. Church family members suffered. Everybody. Isn't that the way it works when it comes to God's family? That when one member suffers, what are we doing? We're suffering with it, aren't we? We're suffering. Because it affects us. You break your arm, that's going to affect your whole body, isn't it? Your whole body is going to suffer. And one person that's suffering, that's going through some problems, should not have to go through that alone. And I hope that we realize that we'll be mindful of when there are those who are suffering among us and that we'll do what we can to ease their pain, to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's physical suffering, there's mental suffering, there's suffering in all different kinds of ways. And we need to be mindful of that when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And since the body is not one member, we need to have the same care one for another. You know, there's to not be any partiality or prejudice the same kind of care that you'd have for me, I should have for you, and we should have for the next person. We need to appreciate that. One another. The Bible often uses those words in describing our relationship as brethren. We need to be mindful of each other, one another. Jesus used that in teaching his disciples in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." How are we to love one another, Lord, as I have loved you? How did he love us? He loved us so much that he gave himself for us, didn't he? Would you be willing to do that? Would you lay down your life for your brethren? He said that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. What if we don't have that? What if we're lacking in that? Then there may be those who would not think us as the Lord's disciples. And then writing the Romans, Paul used that same expression in Romans chapter 14. And in verse 19, here were brethren who needed to learn how to respect each other and treat each other. They had different consciences. There were those who were weak and those who were strong in faith, that is, in conscience. There were those who believed that they could eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. He's a vegetarian, didn't think that he could eat meat. And so they had to learn how to get along with each other, how to handle that, how to treat each other. They had difference in thinking. And there's a sense in which Paul said in verse 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. There's some matters of conscience, matters of judgment, matters of authorized liberty, where we just need to be fully persuaded in our own mind, respect each other's personal judgments or scruples. And in that context, Paul says in verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may what? Edify another. That's a good expression, isn't it? Edify another. So love one another, care for one another, edify another. That's an expression of our care one for another, isn't it? When I care about you, I'm going to look for ways to edify you. And that is to build up, to encourage you, to help you. I need that. Surely none of us are at a point where we don't need to be edified. We don't need to be made stronger. We don't need to be encouraged or built up. We all need that from time to time, don't we? And some more than others. But what are some things I can do to edify, to show my care for my brethren? Edify. One way that we do that, no doubt, is by what we say, our speech. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 29, Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edify, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so it's been suggested that everything that I say ought to be measured by how that's going to affect somebody else. Is it going to build him up? Is it going to help? Is it going to encourage? Or is it going to tear down? Is it going to discourage? And if it's going to tear down, if it's going to discourage, if it's going to hurt and not help, then would you recommend I say it or not say it? Probably best to not say that, right? Is it necessary? Follow after the things which make for what? For peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. And another passage that may come to mind as you make your study of care one for another, and that expression would be the fact that we are to use hospitality one to another. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. You might want to get your concordance out sometime and look up those words, one another, and read all of the times that the Bible talks about our relationship as brethren, one of another. And then finally, as you think about the body is not one member, let me suggest to you that we have different abilities. Since the body is not one member, we have different abilities. In Romans chapter 12, and in verse 4, Paul said, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity or liberality. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so we have different abilities, don't we? You know, there's different gifts, different functions that the Bible makes reference to, and that, of course, was in a day of spiritual gifts, and those gifts have ceased, they've failed, they've vanished away, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches. But yet we do have different gifts or different abilities in that sense, don't we? In that not everybody can preach from the pulpit. Not everybody is suited to teach a child's Bible class, right? There are those who are better suited for that than others. Not everybody can prepare the bread for the table. You wouldn't want to eat it if I tried to prepare it. But my wife does a great job, and the other ladies do as well. And so there's things that others can do. Everybody can do, right? There's room in the kingdom of God for the small things that you can do. And somebody might get to thinking, well, this is a small thing, and you know, I can't do what so and so can do, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to be in the body. Remember what Paul said about that? The eye cannot say. Is it therefore not of the body? We all have different gifts and abilities, and we need to appreciate that and respect that. And so when Paul said the body is not one member, there's lots of application to that, isn't there? A lot of things that we can learn and appreciate from that little statement. The body is not one member, but many. And you might ask yourself, if all the members of the body were like me, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Is that scary to think about that? You just put yourself in that. If all the members of the body were like me, what would the body be like? If all the members of the body were just like me, would it be an attending body? Would the members be here? Would the members be present for Bible study on Sunday morning, Wednesday night? What about for worship Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon? If all the members of the body were like me, would it be an attending body? If all the members of the body were just like me, would it be a body that is a hospitable body? Would it be a body that shows care and concern for the lost? You just go on down the line and ask that in lots of areas. If the whole body, if other members of the body were just like me, what kind of body would it be? You know, some churches have a reputation for being a friendly group. And the Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know why there are some churches that are recognized as being friendly? And that's because the members are friendly. But you know, there are some that are sometimes not very friendly. Some places you go, you may leave and you think, that's a cold group of people. Why is that? Maybe nobody spoke to you. Maybe they didn't shake your hand, make you feel welcome. If all the members of the body were just like you, would it be a grumpy body? A grouchy body? A friendly body? What kind of body? What kind of reputation would it be? Churches have reputations. You think of the church at Ephesus in the New Testament. What comes to mind? Or the church at Smyrna? Or the church at Pergamos? What words would you associate with those churches? Churches have reputations. What reputation would this church have? And the reputation of the church is established by its members. And if all the members of the body were just like you, or just like me, what kind of reputation would this church have? The body is not one member. And thanks to God that it's not, but many. God's made it possible for as many as want to be members of the body of Christ. And we become members of it the same way that folks did in Bible days, being baptized into it. 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. You're not voted into it. You don't join it in that sense, but you become a member of it. You're added by the Lord to it when you're baptized into it. That's what happened on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. When the sermon was preached and folks were pricked in the heart, they said, what shall we do? They were told what to do, and they did it. The same day, they were added unto them, about 3,000, as they gladly received the word and were baptized, Acts 2, and then verse 41. What's your attitude today? Would it be one that you'd receive the word gladly? That you'd want to do what they did? Be a member of what they were? A member of the one body. The body of the reconciled, the called, and the saved. And then to recognize that the body is not one member. But man, you're not the body. You're not the church. You're part of it. And that's a great privilege as well as a great responsibility. With great privileges come great responsibilities. That's the way that it is. And we have responsibilities as members. We recognizing that the body is not one member. I'm not the church. Church is not me. I'm a part of it. And there's a difference between what I may do and what the church is doing. Right? There are those who think that if you could take some money out of your pocket as an individual and help some unbeliever, that the church can then take money out of the treasury and help those who are not members of the body of Christ. When the apostolic example shows that those funds were limited to needy saints, poor saints. The collection for the saints. There's a difference between what you may do with your money and what the church as such may do with the funds that are collected upon the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. And to realize as Diotrephes needed to learn that one member doesn't dictate or determine what the church may or may not do. And the fact that we need each other. And we need to be mindful of each other that when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When one's honored, we rejoice, don't we? It's like that song, God's Family, that we sometimes sing. Shows the fact that we're part of the family whose love knows no end. Peter said, as he talked about God's family in 1 Peter chapter 1, seeing you've been born again, he said, love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's important. So there may be one or more in this audience who desire to become a part of the body of Christ. Would you do that this hour? The same way that folks did it in Bible days. And as a member of the body, to recognize this important principle, the body is not one member. And to live out your days, to try to be the best body member that you can be, and to try to bring others into the body, to increase the body by your example, by your influence, and through teaching the Word of God to others. We can assist you in making your life right with the Lord. Won't you come now as together we stand and sing.